All right, BradCooney.com would like to welcome to the show hip hop recording artist King Harlem. What is up, King?
How's it was happening?
Man, doing all right, man. You all right up there in B-More?
Yeah, man, we thugging up there, man, you know.
Yeah, man, that's what's up.
People acting a fool. They drank the virus over.
Yeah, man, we could have a whole separate podcast on the coronavirus situation. That's crazy, man. Yeah, people gotta be careful. My brother's father-in-law, he passed away from that like 3 or 4 weeks ago, man. It's serious stuff, man.
Yeah, it's no joke. It's no joke.
It ain't. All right, so let's get into this, man. I read through your bio, and man, you got quite a story to tell, brother. I mean, I ain't lying. You've been through some rough stuff. You got a single out, and we'll touch on that in just a second. Man, you lost your brother to street violence, and I wanted to pass along my personal condolences for that. Then, of course, you got shot yourself. You took nine bullets. I guess let's bring my listeners up to speed a little bit on how you're doing since then, physically and mentally, and how did those experiences kind of, you know, set you on the path to a music career?
My brother, he got shot once, he got killed the day before I got shot. He got shot May 22nd, I got shot May 23rd. And, it's a lot of things that run through your mind when stuff like that happen. And people always ask me, because I died twice, so they always ask me, did I see God or did I see the devil? And I tell them, man, I say, to be honest, you know, I mean, the only thing I can remember is like I was on like a mountain or something, like at the highest you could be.
Mm.
And I remember like the smell. It was like, I mean, it was just a sweet smell. It just smelled good.
Mm-hmm.
I never smelled it before. And I seen my mother. And my mother was there. She was calling me. She was just saying, Travis, come on. Come on, Travis.
Wow. Like,
come on. And that was the only thing.
Now, has your mom passed? So your mom passed already before that?
No.
Oh, okay, so she was alive when this happened. Okay.
Yeah. And that's what I tell people, man. That's all I remember, man, is just my mother saying, come on. And then I remember waking up because the person who shot me, he shot me in my ankle first. So when he shot me in my ankle, it like exploded, like the bone was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got hit by a truck. So as soon as he hit me, as soon as he shot me, like the truck hit me right after. And I just remember laying there and I'm watching him. Cause he walking up on me, and every time he step, he shoot.
God
damn. And I got shot May 23rd. I woke up June 5th. So I say probably about maybe July, August. You know, I just started thinking like, you know, my brother got hit once. I got hit nine times. I mean, I done did some shit, man, I shouldn't have done.
Yeah.
And God gave me two chances.
You ain't lying, man. You weren't meant to die yet, brother. He wasn't ready to take you yet.
No, not yet. And so, you know, I'm just still trying to figure it out, man. You know, when you're in the hospital, just like, I ain't gonna compare it to jail, but situation where you, just stuck in a spot and you can't move around, you can't do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while I was in the hospital, I told God I wouldn't do this and I wouldn't do that again. And, I mean, you know, I made a lot of promises, and when I came out, I was lost.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I was in the hospital probably like 9 months, so I was lost. I had to learn how to spell my name. I had to learn how to write.
Wow.
I had to learn how to sit up, like sit up in the chair.
Yeah.
Because when I would sit up, it would hurt. Like, I mean, just feel it, like, moving. And, I mean, that was the toughest thing, learning how to sit up.
Yeah, man.
Just learning how to sit in the chair.
So you say you got shot 9 times.
Right.
Where in the body did you take the bullets? I know you said in your ankle, and where else did you get hit?
I got shot in my ankle. I got shot in my, that's my right ankle. I got shot in my right leg, like a calf muscle. Because they had to take the skin off both sides, so I ain't had no skin for probably about 3 months.
Mm.
You know, the guards didn't clean it. I got shot in my right thigh. I got shot in my left leg, like the calf, and then the thigh. I got shot in my stomach. I got shot in my chest. I got shot in my pelvis.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, did they catch the guy that did it? Did he ever go to jail for it or anything?
Man, you wouldn't even believe it. The crazy thing is, I get shot mid-28th, we got June 5th. June 6th, I was in ICU, and I was getting transferred from ICU to the regular unit.
Mm-hmm.
Homicide come in my room and asked me, do I know who killed the person who shot? They never asked me who shot me. Like, they never asked me that.
They
asked me, do I know who killed the person who shot me? I said, how the hell would I know that?
Unbelievable, man.
I don't even know who I am.
Wow.
Like, I don't know who I am. Y'all can't. I mean, so I'm, you know, I can say the streets took care of him.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. I can read between the lines. Hey man, that's karma on that dude, and I'm glad you made it, man. I mean, you defied the odds, man. I mean, I ain't many people can come back from that. From what you, I mean, you got hit by a truck too. I mean, that's a bad fucking day, man. I mean, you shot 9 times and hit by a truck.
Yep, ran over my hand.
Ah, man.
The person who was in the truck, you know, was looking out for me because he covered my head.
Yeah.
And, you know, a little bit in my chest, but I still got hit in the chest. And the crazy thing, yo, it was 12 in the afternoon. It was broad daylight. And I'm talking about, I was across the street from the graveyard, probably 6 blocks from the courthouse. And this dude was so mad at me, he risked everything. He risked it all just to get me.
Unbelievable.
And the crazy thing is, I was being hard-headed because I was sitting on my mother's step, and she said, come in the house, don't leave all this. I'll be back. You know, I was going to get some, I went and got some gin, because that was my brother's drink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I drank it there, and I set the bottle down. But, you know, I was always thinking, my mother was like, just come in the house, don't. And I just need to clear my mind.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you know, mothers are so smart. Look, I wish I would have listened to a lot of stuff my mother told me to do that I didn't listen to. So I feel you on that, for sure.
Yeah, and the crazy thing, my mother said, when they came and told her I got shot, she said, when she walked, because I got shot probably maybe four to five blocks from where my mother lived. And she said the whole time she was walking there, you know, she couldn't cry.
Mm.
She said she couldn't, you know, she couldn't feel, like, sad or, because they was telling her that I got killed. Mm. And she said when she got there, the police and them told her that I had died. And she said she could never cry. You know, and since she seen me in the hospital, and because she already knew that, you know, I wasn't going to die or whatever the case was.
Yeah.
I was like,
her motherly instincts, man. I mean, mothers are like, they're like empaths, man. They're like, they got like superpowers and stuff.
They really do, man.
Yeah,
mothers,
man.
Mothers got superpowers, man.
I swear. Some of the stuff I used to do behind my mother's back, she used to catch me all the time. I still don't know how she does that. I don't know how old you are, man, but Eddie Murphy, the comedian, he had a real funny stand-up called Eddie Murphy Raw. And he talked about how his mother would hit him with a damn shoe. He'd be making faces, you know, behind her back, and she would hit him in the head with a damn shoe and not even turn around. And he's like, I don't even know how she saw me do that shit, man.
Yeah, that's, It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
It's
hard. All right, so you got this single, man, called Street Corner Music.
Yeah,
you know, you touched a little bit on of course what led up and the incidents you had, and of course the passing of your brother and you, you know, of course taking 9 bullets. But give my listeners a little bit more about the song itself, like Street Corner Music, how it came about, what you know, what the lyrics mean, the whole 9.
Well, actually, the beat that is on, it was a whole nother song going a whole nother way. And I had went to my old neighborhood, and I had ran into a friend that I ain't seen in a while, like maybe 6-7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we was just talking, man, and you know, it was people who thought, it was people to this day still think I'm dead.
Mm.
And you know, we was just talking about the things that happened. Like, had a homeboy who got killed before his girlfriend had twins. I mean, he didn't even know she was pregnant.
Oh, man.
We was just talking, and we were talking on the street corner. And everything we were talking about, I put in a song.
Okay.
And I busted the studio. Yeah, and I was going to mix what I had on that beat. I was going to mix it, and I just deleted it. I was like, nah, man, this ain't, I need this beat. So I just went in and just started talking, and you know, I just was saying everything that me and him was talking about, and I put like clips of the police.
Yeah, I love that. I listened to the song. I love the intro. I like the outro also. I like how you intro the song with the news clips, you know.
Yeah.
And then I like the outro too, because you finish the song with clips too.
Right, but that's real. Like, we really know what the police is. Like, they really like tortured us, and I mean, it was nobody you could tell because I mean, who you gonna tell?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you did say something, because I used to tell my mom, I was like, oh, you can't trust these police. I mean, don't believe nothing. And she was like, it ain't all of them. I'm like, it's all of them. So I just put that on there, you know, because, I mean, yo, they did some ruthless stuff, man. Like, man, I'm going to say this. I'm from Baltimore.
Yeah.
21st and Baldy Street, Raymond Avenue. That's the east side of Baltimore. I don't know if they do this anywhere else, but...
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I know where you're going. The thing is, I've lived in 5 states, and I've lived in some cities and in some country areas. So I know for a fact not all cops are fucking assholes. But the problem is, cops ain't like, you know, let's say you got a, for example, let's say you got a plumber or an electrician, right? And let's say you got the guy's an asshole. And so when he fucks up, the worst that's going to happen is you got fucked up plumbing, right? But a cop, there ain't no room for fucked up cops, because the cops carry a big stick. That's my thing. And here's one of my problems with police departments. I personally know some cops, and I know all of them ain't bad. But my problem with the police departments in America now is when you do have 2 or 3 racists up in that fucking precinct, and then that code of honor bullshit where nobody rats them out, nobody outs them, that shit's got to stop. They got to fucking out that shit, man. They got to out them fuckers and throw them in jail or whatever you got to do. That's a problem. That's a big problem.
Right. I know, like, say I was, like, on my block, well, not my block, but my neighborhood, if the police caught you selling drugs caught you doing anything, like, no, I'm going to say selling drugs. If they caught you, you know, serving somebody or something like that, they will grab you, they will set you down, and then say, call somebody right now and tell them to bring us a weapon, a gun,
yeah.
Any kind of gun besides a shotgun. They ain't want no hunting guns, shit like, they would say, tell someone to bring us a weapon, anything but a shotgun. And, you know, you would they used to do, they used to sell it to people that we was beefing with. They would sell the guns, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they, yeah, there's some crooked ones out there now. I know what you're saying. So they would take care of their dirty. So they sell the gun to whoever you're beefing with, and they would encourage them to shoot you guys, and then like they use them to take care of the dirty business.
Yeah, basically, and nobody never believed it. My homie got killed with his own gun, a gun that he turned in, to the police to get somebody released. He got shot by his own 38.
Well, you remember that? You remember that brother that cop shot and killed in South Carolina? The black guy, he was running away. He was like running away from the cop, and the cop shot him in the back and killed him.
Yeah, shot him in his back and stuff.
And then he threw the gun, a gun next to him. To try to plant, try to plant the gun next to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
So, I mean, that's what I just wanted to put into that song.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because they messed a lot of lives up, but,
Another thing the cops need to do, and I know we're kind of getting off on well, no, we're really not getting too far off because your song's about this.
Man, it's all good, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all good.
So one of the things I believe police departments need to do in this country, they need to have better de-escalation. They need to learn how, these cops need to have to learn, they need to learn how to de-escalate shit. When they show up on a scene, at least fucking try. At least try to de-escalate a situation before it escalates and then somebody gets killed. That's one thing. And you remember that cat up in New York, Eric Garner, he was just selling Lucy's, man. I used to sell Lucy's. I'm from New York. I used to sell Lucy's, man. I used to sell single cigarettes, when I was in high school up there. And all that poor dude, all he was doing is selling, he wasn't even selling drugs, he was selling fucking cigarettes. And he got killed. They killed him. I mean, so I feel you, man. I just wanted to make the point. I mean, it is a fact that not all cops are racist and not all murderers. But the problem is, like I told the example I used before, if you got three or four bad cops in a department, they carry a real fucking big stick. You know what I mean? And it's like a cancer. It rots from the inside. So they got to start outing these people. And no more covering up, covering for them. Fuck all that shit.
Yeah, I'm about to say, that's the thing. They fast to cover it up. They stick together.
Yep. And that's bad.
And they know that person are racist or yep. I mean, it's like they don't even care about that.
Yep. And that's bad. That has to change. Hopefully, maybe it's trending a little bit better. I don't know, but they need to start outing people like that. And I mean, because the thing is, if they don't, and these three or four bad ones on a precinct, and they're out there profiling, and they're fucking with minorities or whatever, then they're doing their racist shit.
Right.
Then what's going to happen is you're going to get a riot. Then your city's going to burn down, and then more people are going to get hurt. And it wouldn't have happened if you would have just turned in these two or three idiots and took care of it.
Situation, I can't remember where it was at, but I seen it on CNN, how a father and son had chased
Killed
them.
Yeah, dude, that's bad.
But, they didn't get locked up at first because he was a retired police or something. I'm like, what? Hold up.
Yeah. I mean, there ain't no doubt, man. I'm a white guy, but anybody who tells me or anybody else that there ain't no profiling that happens, they're full of shit. I don't even want to hear them, man. There's no question that in most cases, black people are not looked at the same way by cops as they look at white people. I mean, this is fucking, it's a fact. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. It's a fact.
That's a fact.
Yep. All right, so the song is born. First of all, how's the song doing? You get any spins, and how's it doing out there?
Yeah, I mean, it's doing good. I'm trying to get it played in, my city though, but
yeah,
hands gotta get greased and stuff like that. So,
you got a Twitter? You got a Twitter account?
Yeah, I got a Twitter. I just started. I've been had one, but I wasn't on it. I ain't know people was on it like that.
Yeah, man, you got to get that. You got to get your Twitter account. You need to build that up and get your followers. Build up your followers. The more followers you got, the more serious producers and radio stations will take you. And then you can start following producers and following different radio stations. But what I'll do for you is I'm gonna you got this song is on like it's on like SoundCloud or whatever. You got it where I can put a link. I can tag some of these radio stations with it.
Yeah, I got a link. It's not on SoundCloud though. It's on Spotify.
There you go. Okay, that's all I need. I just need a link to where I can tweet out to some of these radio stations in Baltimore. And even other cities in the East Coast, and that's what you need to do, man. You need to get on your Twitter and start tagging some of these hip hop stations up and down the East Coast. Fuck it, even the West Coast, and put that link in there. And you never know.
I'm gonna have to get your email. You're gonna have to send me your email.
Yeah, I will. I'll text it to you. The number you just called me, that's your cell phone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. When we hang up, I'll text you my email address.
I appreciate that.
Yes, sir. All right, so let me see where I'm at here. I'm looking at my notes. We talked about you getting shot 9 times. That still blows my mind. So who's the guy that I read about as a friend of yours, man? He was really persistent, man. He kept on like almost bugging you. He kept on coming back to you with beats and stuff like that. Who are you talking about there?
That was my friends like my brother, his name is Flacco. Fabo. He a rapper. And when I was in John Hopkins, you know, he would come up every day, you know, just playing beats. And at the time, I was like, man, I ain't even
you ain't even feeling like that, yeah.
Yeah, and he was just bringing so much music. Like this when Lil Wayne was dropping all the mixtapes on the summer.
Yeah,
the droughts and all that. He would bring all that. I listened to that, but you know, I just couldn't get with the beats. And sometimes I would just listen to him and be like, man, I mean, it would nothing would come to my mind, like nothing. And I'm talking about he'd call and we'd be talking, and next thing I know, he just bust out a freestyle. So I'd be just sitting there listening on the phone about 10-15 minutes. He's just rapping.
Wow.
I'm like, God damn. I said, okay. Okay. Yeah, I mean, he a good friend, man.
Yeah.
Me and him got a couple songs together. And, you know, and if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't, because we've been rapping, but we wasn't really taking it serious because we was in the streets serious.
Yeah.
And like I've been telling people, man, you can't, I mean, people think it's easy, you know, to be on the street. It ain't, man. You gotta be focused.
Oh yeah.
Because it's, I mean, you got the police, then you got, you know, Jack Boys, and I mean, you just got to keep your mind clear. And I really wasn't on the rapping, because you know, rapping is telling your life, and I ain't want to put my life on a beat and then the police hear it and be like, oh, we go to evidence. So I would never take it serious. And when I got out of the hospital, though, even though I slipped and fell back into what I knew, I was doing music, and I was doing a lot of music.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just from that, just kept on doing it.
Yeah, but, your friend actually was a big, he played a pivotal role, man. He played a real pivotal role to kind of light the fire, to light the fire in you again.
Yeah, man, shout out to my brother Flacco.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the whole time I had to learn how to walk, because the doctor told me I was never going to walk again. So, I mean, it was nothing I could do to, you know, to learn how to walk. But I was in a wheelchair, and I was at least trying to, you know, figure out how to walk in crutches.
Yep.
And, I mean, man, it was just a fucking struggle, man. It was just a struggle.
Yeah.
And it was painful every day, man. Wake up in pain, go to sleep in pain, and then you gotta beat the addiction, because they don't tell you that the Oxycontin.
Yeah, man, you got hooked on them pain pills, didn't you?
Man.
Yep, I know. I have two good friends, really good friends, and they both got hooked on that shit.
Man, it's just like.
Yep. I feel you.
You know, and it gets to the point where it's too much. But, you know, you just gotta stay focused. And, you know, John Hopkins was telling like, man, your foot is dead, man. You got gangrene. They say you're gonna have to get your right ankle amputated, or you could die.
Oh man.
And I was like, man, can I think about it? They was like, yeah, you can think about it the next half an hour. I'm admitting you.
Oh, like, man, so they weren't even playing.
Yeah, they weren't playing because university told me that my foot didn't look too good, and they wanted to, check in with the doctors. I was like, man, I'm getting out of here, and I left. And then probably a month later, that's when I went to Union Memorial. I went there because I was cooking. I was in a wheelchair. I had a cast on, and I was cooking some pork chops, and I had probably cooked maybe 10 pork chops, and I had one left, and when I tried to flip it, the whole pot fell.
Oh, burn you.
Yeah, and it went down in the cast, and the crazy thing is I didn't feel it. I didn't feel nothing.
Oh, so that gangrene had your nerves all numbed up.
Yeah, it was gone. So,
oh, man.
So my mother, I had told my mother, and she was like, well, you need to go to the emergency room and tell them what happened. And they went there and they peeled my skin because my skin was real black. It was like tar black.
Man.
And they peeled it all off. They peeled that dead skin off, and my foot was brown. But then the next day it went right back to that dark black.
Oh man.
That's when they was like, yeah, you got the gang. I mean, the bottom of my foot was orange, like a like the fruit. It was orange.
Wow.
And I was like, man, I had to amputate it.
So how far did they amputate? How much did they take off your leg?
They took my ankle.
Alright, so your leg, you got your leg, you just don't have from your ankle down?
Yeah.
I got you.
Just from my ankle down.
Do you have a prosthetic for it, or you just use crutches and stuff?
Yep, I got a prosthetic now.
And you walking now?
Yeah, I had a.
Dude, you're a fucking beast, dude.
Yeah,
you are a beast.
I went back to John Hopkins. I went back to floor 6, and I asked for the doctor, and I said, doctor, how you going? How you feeling? Remember me? He was like, Mr. Smith. I was like, yes, sir. Shook his hand, and I left. I ain't had no conversation.
Because he's the one that told you that you would never walk again, right?
Every day, he was saying every day, and he had to say it because I mean I remember.
Yeah.
But he was saying it every day, and I couldn't figure out why. But
you did the right thing. You did the right thing. You could have been real ugly to him, but what you did is you took the high road, but at the same time you kind of threw a spear at him. You know what I mean? You were like, fuck you, idiot. That's what you really was trying to say. But you did it in a way to where it hits home, where you just shook his hand and you just walked out of there. Like, you defied everything he said.
Yeah, man, it was like a rush. It felt like I was about to fight or something. I was like, man, I guess no, he probably was like, damn.
Yeah, man. He probably, you know what? He probably ain't telling anybody else anymore that he ain't gonna never do something.
Yeah, man.
You know?
And I was 19.
Wow.
I was 19 at the time when he kept, I mean, he would say it every day. I had company in the room, and he would come past and say it.
Why would he keep saying that to you? Was he just being a dick, or why would he keep saying it over and over again?
I don't know.
Man, that's crazy.
I told the nurses, I'm like, yo, this dude keeps saying I'll never walk. And they say, they think he was doing it because he wanted to try a new surgery out on your foot. He wanted to try this new procedure.
So you think he was saying that just to get you to spend more money on the more money?
He wanted me to get some type of procedure, like an artificial ankle. They wanted to build me an ankle.
Hmm.
And I mean, we went through with it because I mean, he kept saying I was never gonna walk, and he said this is the only chance I had. So, I had 12 surgeries, and at that time, that probably was like surgery 5.
Wow.
And he built me an ankle, and he built me, the whole ankle bone because that was destroyed.
Okay.
From the
building. So it actually helped though. The whatever that was they built for you, it did help you.
No, I ain't do nothing because my foot was dead.
Oh, okay, now, okay. I follow you now.
Yeah, and
they were just trying to get, so my initial instinct was right. They were just trying to milk money out of you guys.
They were trying to milk it.
Yep.
Man, when I got that hospital bill,
man,
I got the hospital bill while I was in rehab learning how to walk. It was 72,666 dollars.
In my head, I'm like, the nine bullets didn't kill him, but the damn the realization of the fucking bill will give you a heart attack and kill you.
Man, heart attack. And at the time, I had no insurance.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's insane. That was real.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah, that's another thing the country's got to work on, man. Yeah. They got to work on these hospitals, insurance companies ripping people off. You know?
Man, hey, nobody control the medical, it seemed like.
Hey, look, Barack Obama tried. Yeah. Obama tried, man. He tried. He had too many forces against him.
But he
tried. I give him credit for that.
Some people powerful, man.
You ain't lying.
I mean, the medicine, the prices would be so ridiculous, man.
That's the thing. I mean, there's probably a cure for cancer right now. They probably had a cure for cancer for years. But they ain't going to come out with that shit because too much money going to be lost. I mean, too much money going to be lost.
Man, too much money.
Yep.
That's what I was saying. I was like, how in the hell can they go to the moon, man? But how can you go to the moon? To the moon?
Even further, man, we got like robots and rovers driving around on the surface of Mars now, on another planet. I'm like you. I use the same analogy. We got our like NASA scientists. They got like space probes in Pluto and out of our solar system now, and we've been working on this cancer thing for decades. And you can't tell me they ain't figured that shit out by now.
Yeah, I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah, I agree.
There's been so much stuff, and I'm like. Like, yo, we ain't got no type of cure for the stuff that's getting people out of here.
Yep. I mean, we can clone humans, and we can actually make human beings now.
Right.
Yeah, right. That's what it is, though. The big pharmaceuticals and the hospitals and the cancer hospitals, man, they'll go out of business if they ever came up with a cure for cancer. So they're going to keep that shit under the rug as long as possible.
Right, and that's what I hate, man. I hate that shit with a passion.
Me too.
My grandmother, she had diabetes. I'm like, man, y'all could have killed. I mean, I know y'all know. Yeah. I know y'all got a cure for diabetes. I know y'all do.
A lot of stuff, man. My mother died of cancer. My stepmother died of cancer. My cousin just died about 5 years ago. He was only like 33 years old. Cancer killed him.
I mean, and you know they got a cure. They gotta have a cure.
Yeah, they do.
They doing too many. I mean, outrageous. I mean, come on, man. Like, they got shit on Mars, and you can't.
I agree, 100%. Me and you are 100% in agreement on that, man. Ain't no doubt. They're covering up all kinds of cures and stuff. I think part of it's population control too.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking about this corona. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I put on Facebook. I said, man, y'all gotta.
I think China. I think you know. I do believe. I don't believe a lot what the government says, but I do believe that it did start in China. And I wouldn't be surprised because in China the population's it's like insane. There's so many people in China,
and
I mean China has a one-child policy where families are legally not allowed to have more than one kid because of the population. So I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they had this coronavirus in a lab and they were going to use that to wipe out some of the population and it just accidentally leaked out everywhere.
Man, I swear, man, I put that on Facebook. That's the first thing I put on there. I said, man, it's population control.
Something.
There's no way in the world, man.
Yeah, me and King Harlem got a lot of shit in common. We think a lot alike, brother.
Yo, everything happened in China, though, because, you know, they had that, the first coronavirus broke out in China.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yo, and now this one broke out, and it's everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. Everywhere, the whole world.
This ain't no accident, man.
No, I think it's purpose, too.
Yeah, man, this ain't no accident.
Man, so me and you can have a podcast just on conspiracies and shit, man. There's so much damn government cover-ups and all kinds of conspiracies going on in the world.
Man, we can.
Hey, you know what, man? One of these days, I think I'm going to have you back on the show, and we ain't going to talk about music. Me and you are just going to toss around conspiracies and cover-ups and bad cops, and that's a whole new podcast.
I'm telling you, man.
We're gonna do it. All right, man. A couple more things.
You solid with me, bro?
Yeah, man.
Whatever you want to do, we can do it, man.
We'll do that. I'm gonna help you with your music career too. I know I can't make any promises because the music business can be pretty fucked up. But I do know a few people I want to get your song in front of.
Hey, and I appreciate that.
Yes, sir. I mean, I'll try. I've helped out a few people. There was a hip-hop group out of Detroit that I helped out. I got them, and they did a cut with Roy Jones Jr., the boxer. Me and Roy are pretty good friends, and Roy trains fighters now. He's retired. He doesn't box anymore. But he trains fighters, and one of his fighters had a fight out in Vegas. And so I said, hey, man, these guys out of Michigan, let me send you their music. So Roy was really, really liked them. And I said, hey, they want to do a video, and they want to know if you make a cameo appearance in it. And Roy said, all right, man. He goes, if they can meet me out in Vegas, during that weekend, I'll do it. And, they fucking did. They flew out there, and Roy did the song with him. They got a video with him now. So that helped him.
That's what I was trying to explain this to my brother last night. I say, yo, people don't understand. All you got to do is just look out for each other.
That's it, man.
I mean, all the interviews people do, if you go to your interview and you say, man, I just did an excellent interview with Dave and give his podcast, people, fans, or they're gonna go check that person podcast out, and now that's helping the person. I'm growing and he's growing, and the person I'm with now growing. You're not trying to get some of the money, you're getting all the money.
Yeah, man, there just needs to be more lifting up than people trying to knock out the legs out from under people, man. I mean, if you're good to people, look, there's exceptions to the rule. There's some fucking scumbags out there that they ain't gonna change. But pretty much though, if you're good to people, that goodness is gonna come back. If you're kind to people and you help people out, and you develop that reputation as somebody who's not out to get nobody else, and you're there for them, they're going to be there for you.
That's what I be trying to, tell my little. I say, yo, the reason a lot of artists don't got support when they first come out from their city and their fans is because they can't work together with other artists. An artist would rather make a diss song about you before he do a song with you.
Exactly, man. Like Eminem hooked up 50 Cent.
Right.
Dr. Dre hooked up Eminem.
Right.
Usher hooked up, what's the kid from Canada? What's his name? The white kid.
Justin Bieber,
man. Usher hooked him up.
Yeah.
And that's how it's supposed to be, man. I mean, the people helping each other out.
Yeah. Support.
Yeah. Absolutely,
that's what
man.
It's all about, man. But it just seems like, a person think, if they help you, it's gonna look bad on them.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. That's not the way it should be, man. You just do you. I think, break that mold, break that cycle.
I think Atlanta had the best. I don't know how they did it, but they took over and they've been running it for like 10 years. When they first came out, they weren't beefing with each other. They were just all doing music together.
Yeah, man.
They were all in each other's videos.
Mm-hmm.
They came and took the game.
That's what's up.
And it's like, people don't want to use their blueprint. They'd rather, like I say, diss you and, want to be an enemy before they be with you. They hate to see you succeed.
Yeah, well, just do your own thing, man. And as your career rises, bring a few with you, man, if you can, to help you to make... I mean, have somebody. If you get to the next level and you're touring and you got a record deal or whatever, and you're out there, when you get to these different cities, find out, man. Say, hey, man, who's a local artist that's really doing their thing and on the grind, and then have them open up the show for you. Give them a chance, man. Give them some exposure. Give them some advice and stuff.
I mean, that's what my mind on.
Yep.
I'm hoping. Can't forget about people who are doing these podcasts, because podcasts been out for a minute.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't forget about me, man. See, if you start breaking in them Benjamin, hey, don't forget that white dude that was talking about cops with you, man. You got to hook me up.
I can't forget nobody, man, because, like I say, man, we need You need each other.
Yeah, that's true, man. Absolutely.
I'm not trying to get some of the money. I want all the money.
Yes, sir.
And you can look at it however you want to look at it. I mean, it's not gonna hurt me to help you.
Nope. I agree. All right, man. Look, I got to run, but I had a lot of fun talking to you, and I want you to come back on the show next time you got a single you want to drop or whatever. You know, and we'll do that other podcast too. We'll just talk world. We'll talk world politics, world
man,
issues.
I'm with it, man.
Yeah, we'll do that for sure. I want to give you an opportunity before we wrap this up to tell the listeners out there where they can get your song and where they can follow you on social media. Any websites you want to talk about? So the floor is yours.
Yeah, hey man, this is your boy King Harlem, Baltimore City, Bodymore, Murderlands, on 18 GMB, OGMB. I got a new record, Street Corner Music. You know what I'm saying? A real personal song. You can go get it everywhere, wherever they stream music, from YouTube to Spotify, Tidal. Pandora, everywhere. You want to holler at me, you want to do something, you can hit me on Facebook at King Harlem Smith or on Instagram at King Harlem Shakur. You know, I'm not hard to get in contact with.
Alright, man, well, there it is. I enjoyed talking to you, man. Look, I really enjoyed your song too. It's a great song. I mean, I get a lot of I interviewed quite a few hip-hop artists, and not just hip-hop, I some rock and some R&B artists. And some of the music I get, you know, it's not great. Some of them are just young and up-and-coming, and they haven't really hit their groove yet. But when I listened to your song, the first thing that came to my mind, I was like, all right, this dude, he knows what he's doing. This is quality. So I like that song a lot. I like the intro and the outro. I like the hook. I like how you use that tuner a little bit. You didn't go crazy with it. You didn't go crazy with it, which is good. I don't like when people overkill with it. You had the right touch with it.
Just a little bit.
Just a touch. Just a little smidgen in there, man, which was really nice. It kind of filled the song nicely. So, and whoever produced it too, man, I think that it was, I'm not sure who produced it, but they did a good job too, man.
I did. Thank you.
There you go. All right, King Harlem, I appreciate you coming on the show, and I'm gonna shoot you my email right when I hang up here. But I appreciate you coming on, and I want you to come back.
All right,
brother.
I definitely will be back. Peace. Blessings.
That's you too, brother.